because could be in the Lord's house this evening. Thankful tonight for the opportunity we have to come together and worship together for a little while tonight, spend a little time with the Word of the Lord, and to mention some objects here, and just thank the Lord for all His goodness upon our heart and our life, and His blessings of the day. It's good to see you tonight. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate those that I can't see that are outside and part of the service, and those that we can't see even beyond that are listening and watching by way of the live stream. I was talking with Brother Gust Amy a little while today, and he was asking me, said, "You're going to be preaching tonight?" And I told him I was by hand, and he said, "Well, we're going to be listening." So I told him, be sure and ask the Lord to help us tonight. And so I appreciate these that are faithful to listen and watch on the live stream. And so asking the Lord to help this evening in the service. I mentioned just a couple of requests, and then we'll get started. I want to mention this. I had it on our announcements over the weekend, and then I wanted to mention it. That Fred Bolick passed away on August the 4th, and they will be having a celebration of his high service this coming Sunday at Wilkie's at 2 o'clock. And so just wanted to announce that and to ask you to pray for Lily and all the family, asking the Lord to help them. And then pray for Erica. She is still waiting for the biopsy results. And then also for the surgery for the other place that they were going to remove. So do ask the Lord to help there. Guy Stamey had his treatment on Monday. And it went all right. He was telling me that it went overall pretty good. Bear with me. Take me a little bit, kind of work through it and everything. But got a little sick today. But he said once, and then that had all passed and everything, but just ask the Lord to help him. And then Bobby had a treatment just that word ain't gonna come out. But, and as what I know, still waiting on her results from the scans from last week. So ask the Lord just to help her. And then another request that we have, ask the Lord to help them and touch them and meet the needs of their hearts. I'm not going to try to go down all our list. They're on our website. I have tried to keep them up to Amen. And to look at them and ask the Lord to help them and meet the needs of their hearts and their lives. So to check them out and keep them in your prayers. So we have so many. And who has the Lord help in their lives. So tonight, could I go to the Lord in prayer? Some words just having a hard time getting it. Get him to help. But could I ask this? If he'll lead us in prayer that night.
Heavenly Father, we count it another honor and privilege, Lord, just to be able to be in the house, Lord, and worship on your name. Lord, we thank you for the day and the many blessings that you bestowed upon us, Lord. We ask you now, Lord, that you just come in and meet with us. Lord, you touch and meet in all the needs of all the hearts and lives here tonight. Lord, we ask that you be with our pastor, Lord, touch his body and his voice, Lord. Lord, you just help him, give him strength, Lord, give him the power that he needs, Lord, just help him, be with him. And Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in a free part of sin, Lord, I pray you put conviction on heavy and real. Lord, you'll save him before it's everlasting too late. Bless and help his church, Lord, help it grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Be with all those on the prayer list, you know, the ones that are sick, the ones dealing with death, Lord. Lord, you know all the needs in every heart that's here tonight, Lord, we ask you to touch and bless. Everything said and done, Lord, we'll
wire
our worthy heads and hearts to say, Jesus, done
it all. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of James. James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter, and last Wednesday, I started this chapter, and I put it online, and I was only able to get the first couple of verses, and I want to try to pick up and go on into the chapter, and really I'd like to hit down who first healed and deal with the whole section. Verses 1 through 12 actually deal with the whole thought that I wanted to look at. And James was dealing, as I started last week, dealing with a trouble with our tongues. And like I said last week, I really only talked about verses 1 and 2. And I want to pick up and go from there. I will just kind of by way of introduction, I want to just mention what I dealt with last week. And we'll move on. So I'm going to try to jump in. Hopefully that'll kind of kickstart us. And then we'll on. Last week, I dealt with the first thing that he dealt with in the first two verses. He was giving a warning concerning teaching. And in those verses, James starts out and he talks about those that he called pastors. He says, my brethren, be not any masters. And When we see the word pastors, he is talking about those who are instructors or teachers, or we would think of as preachers in our day. So James was thinking about those who would be those that hold the word of God, instructing others and preaching the word, teaching the word. And he says to them that be careful to those who want that position, that desire that position, to realize that there is greater accountability to God when you have that position. And he says that we'll receive the greater condemnation, that we'll have the greater accountability for those of us that have that position. I remember talking last week of how humbling that is to realize that I will have a greater accountability to God for the messages that I preach, the way that I prepare them, the way that I preach them, the way that I give them when I stand to preach the word of God to you, the way that I teach them and the way that I share them. So we need to understand that's what James starts out by giving a warning concerning teachers. And then in verse 2, he says this. He says, in many things we offend all. He says it does as well for all of us to keep in mind that we all offend, that there's not a single one of us that don't offend at times with our words, that we all at times say things that offend, that at times that we all say things that we need to be careful with our words. So he says that if a man offend not in his word, he's a mature man and able to bridle the whole body. So he tells all of that. But now I get into this that I want to look at tonight. So he's not only giving some words of warning concerning teachers, but then he gets into the heart of it and gives a warning simply concerning the tongue. James is talking not so much, but he does hint and say some things about the physical organ of the tongue, but he isn't all just talking about that little physical member, but he's talking about our words and what we say with our tongues. So he gives us a warning concerning the tongue. I want to just say it outright tonight. There's not a single one of us, but what we all have problems with our tongue. Every single one of us, the preacher, all throughout the congregation and all of us, and every person alive, that we all have trouble with our tongues. So it's going to hit us all, myself. It hits me. Sometimes we're able to say, oh, amen. Sometimes we just have to say, oh, me. And we say, yes, that touches my heart. So we'll have to just deal with it. It's in the Word. So we'll cover it. We can't bypass it. And so James deals with it in what he says unto these Christians here. So he deals first of all in verses 3 through 5 about the influence of the tongue. So let's look at it. He says, behold, he put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So let's just pause a minute. James, first of all, gives a couple of illustrations about how powerful the tongue is, using an illustration two ways. First of all, he says, using it about the horses being in a bridle. He says, behold how we put a bit in a horse's mouth, and we use it with a bridle to control that horse. In other words, that you and I, we can take a 1,000-pound horse and put a little bit in a horse's mouth and put a 100-pound rider on that horse, and using that little bit and bridle, they can steer that horse or guide that horse wherever they want it to go. And then he turned around and he said in verse 4, behold also the ships. He said, though they be great, how that they're driven of fierce winds, but yet they're turned about with such a small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. He said, a massive ship that'll weigh tons. But he said that ship is turned about by a rudder, a small rudder compared to the size of that ship, whithersoever the governor of the ship desires it to go. He said, that's how it is done. He said, that is how it's controlled. And then he says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. He said, even though the tongue is a little member, but yet it can do great things. It boasteth great things, accomplishes great things. He says that's how it is. That is how powerful the tongue is. He says you look at a horse, a big horse can be turned by such a little bit and bridle. You look how a large ship can be turned about by such a small rudder. And he said, that's like our tongue, that it is a small member of our body, but yet our tongue, being such a small member, can do such big things and great things in our life. You think about that just a little bit. That little piece of flesh in the human body can do so much and has such great power. I was just thinking about it and studying. That tongue, that little tongue, it can open the start of a business, or that little tongue can instigate a war. It can order a sandwich at Chick-fil-A, or it can order the death of an individual. It can say, I love you, or it can say, I despise you. There is power in the tongue. That little tongue has power, the influence that is in the tongue and in the words that we say. Just in somebody's words, the power that's in those words. Somebody can say, just as I said about in the words, you can just simply say a word and something great can come out of it. But somebody can say the word and it can mean the death of an individual. The power that's in the words. So James is talking about the influence of the tongue. But then he continues the thought, talking about the iniquity of the tongue. Look at what else he says in verse 5. He goes on and he says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He said, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He is talking about how great a fire, the idea is that, how great a fire just a little spark can kindle. I know Stephen could verify this far greater than I can, dealing as a firefighter, how that just a small spark can bring such a massive fire. We often hear it talked about how that maybe just a cigarette tossed out can start a fire that can burn acre after acre after acre. We hear about somebody camping can fail to put out their campfire, and it can set a fire and burn acres of land. How a lightning strike can burn acres. Somebody, we often hear it, how that somebody falls asleep with a cigarette, catches a couch on fire, burns their house, often taking a life, and sometimes even more than one life. How that a little fire, a little spark, can do so much damage. That's what James is saying. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. He's talking about the destructiveness of the tongue and of fire here. He is saying in verse 6, it goes to put it together. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. He says, just like a fire can be started, a massive fire can be started by a little spark, so can a word spoken by the tongue can set off a massive chain of offense. A world, he says, of iniquity. A world of iniquity. That is the destructive nature of the tongue. I'm telling you, James is talking about the powerful destructive nature of the tongue. I could tell you the story tonight about a fire. It took place October the 8th in 1871 at about 9 p.m. To say the fire started in a barn behind Patrick O'Leary's house on the west side of Chicago. And it started there, and over the next couple of days, almost half of the city of Chicago burnt, destroying some 1,700 buildings, killing nearly 300 people, and it left over 100,000 people homeless, and a property loss of some $200 million in damage. And it's been speculated that it all started when a cow kicked over a lantern. Just a little fire started the famous Chicago Fire of 1871. I'm telling you, James is describing that kind of destructive power in the tongue. You see, the idea is this, that just a word can destroy somebody's witness before a lost world. Just a word can destroy somebody's confidence in us. It can destroy our testimony among the saints. It can damage people's confidence in somebody else because of what we say in a false accusation. Just what we say as a harmless lie can do great damage and influence in somebody's life. So James is talking about the devastating effects of it. But then notice what else he says. He says, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Just as a raging fire touches so much acreage and destroys so much pains, James says that the tongue has a far-reaching effect. It will touch an individual life. It can damage a family life, a church's life. It can damage people's lives all around. The words that James is talking about has a devastating effect. People's words can damage their children. I made this statement, I believe it was last week, that at times parents will make statements to their children like, you'll never amount to anything. And things like, well, you're so dumb that you'll never turn out to amount to nothing. Things like that can have a damaging effect in their children that can last a lifetime. I'm talking about the power that words can have in people's lives. James is talking about that. James even tells us where damaging words are birthed at. He says they're set on fire of hell. They get their birth out of Satan himself, out of hell itself. It is never of God for us to use our tongues to tear down, to harm somebody, to tell somebody off, to use our tongues in a harmful, hurtful, destructive, damaging way. It is never that way to honor God in any way. It is damaging and destructive. That's what James is saying. So then lastly, in verses 7 through 12, he talks about the insurrection of the he talks about the rebellious nature that's in the and again, he uses an illustration. As a matter of fact, a series of them. He says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, things of the sea is well, that word ain't come out. And I've been tamed of hand. But the tongue can no man it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made in the similitude of God. So he tells us, he said, we have been able to bring the animals under the authority of man. But he said, man cannot bring the tongue under his authority. But I want you to understand what James is saying. James is saying that we can't bring the tongue under our authority. But God can. God is the only one that can bring our tongue under authority. That we ourselves can't do it. But God is able, by His power, to get our tongues under authority. James says we can't do it, but God can. He says it's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. The idea is it's like a snake's poison. I'm sure we've all felt the sting of that poison. We all know what it's like to have the tongue of somebody else to sting our lives. We all know what it is for somebody who hurts to hurt us, to cut us. And wound us. We know that. We've experienced that in our own lives. And I would go so far to say that we all have done it to somebody else. And then wished we could take it back. But James says in these words, he says that with our tongues, that we use it to bless God, but then with the same tongue, curse we man that was made in the similitude of God. In verse 10, he said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It ought not be that way, he said, that out of the same mouth that we bless God. And out of the same mouth, curse we've had. He said, we'll not ever come in the house of the Lord and use our mouth to honor God, then walk out the doors and then curse man and talk about man, put down man. These things, James said, ought not be. Then he uses some final illustrations. He said, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can a fountain, no fountain, both your soul hotter and fish. So James ends it up. He says a grapevine can't bear figs. He says a fountain will yield salt water and fresh water. These things don't happen in the natural realm. So in the spiritual realm, they should never be in our lives. So James challenges our hearts to guard our tongues. That's a challenge to my heart. It ought to be a challenge to all of our hearts tonight, that God would help us to set a watch over our lips, to guard what we say every day, that we get up, start our day, say, Lord, help us, hey, that I'd watch what I say with my lips, that I wouldn't say the wrong things, to dishonor your name, to hurt someone, but may I honor you and bless your name and bring glory to you. So with that, I'm going to leave it. It is a conviction of my heart that I'd watch how I speak and how I use my heart and what I say in my life. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate those listening and those outside. I'll ask you to stand and we'll be dismissed. Given which you dismiss us.
Help the church, Lord, just to move forward.